to Up the Coast with Alex and Britt. We are on episode 11 of the 2025 softball season, covering ACC softball across the country. Britt, we've got 2 weeks left of regular season play. How do you feel about where we are?
Well, after this last weekend, I don't know where we are. It was a wild weekend in the ACC. I mean, we'll definitely dive into it, but it really skewed my perspective on a lot of things, not just in the ACC, but around the country. It was just a great weekend of softball. I mean, upsets and records broken, but crazy.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. So before we get into specific teams, let's just talk about how offensive the ACC is. And I think that that's, of course, right, we're both hitters at heart, something that we can really appreciate, and the records that have been broken so far. So just to kind of start, Kat Rodriguez at your alma mater, UNC, absolutely crushing it. She holds the RBI record right now, and she's five away from the ACC RBI record for a single season.
What year did you graduate, Alex?
17.
I think the record was broken, is held by a Florida State player that played in 15.
Would it be Maddie O'Brien?
Maddie O'Brien, yep.
Yeah. Yep. She had a killer year. She had like 20-something home runs, 24 home runs or something that year, like something stupid.
Nice, yeah. So my Tar Heels coming for your Knoll.
I like it. Let's see it. Jade Hilton at Virginia has been phenomenal. She just broke the career home run record and tied the single season home run record. So it's been a lot of fun to watch her. Virginia as a team has beaten the single season home run record, hitting 57 as a team. And Stanford has also broken the single season home run record with 82.
That ball flies in that football stadium. I don't know what the dimensions are, but it flies. But they're still hitting. They're hitting home runs on the road, too. But, yeah, another record broken.
Absolutely. But it's been a lot of fun. And then Corey McMillan at Virginia Tech, single-season home run record. She broke it with 22, but she now has 23 on the season. So I'd love to see her get a couple more. I need to know what the single-season ACC home run record is. It could be something close to that Maddie O'Brien number. I don't know offhand anybody that would have hit more than her, but we can look into that for sure.
And she broke her own record when she broke the single-season record this weekend. So that was held by her.
For Corey McMillan at Virginia Tech.
Yep.
So that's good stuff. And then Bree Peck, also a career home run record holder at Virginia Tech. Really good stuff. Just the body of work we talk so much about with career numbers. Maddie Moore broke Clemson's single season RBI record with 57. Abby Vieira broke Clemson's single season doubles record with 15. And then Alex Brown, also at Clemson, broke the single season runs scored record.
Isn't it crazy with all the people that graduated from Clemson that they're breaking records?
Yeah, I love it. It's good stuff. But I think that's been the storyline for this Clemson team in general, is not knowing who they were going to be after graduating, you know, a very historic and well-known class, and then just like not missing a beat is what it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of ACC Player of the Week awards were given. You want to share those?
Yeah, they're all swept by Virginia this weekend. They beat Louisville for the first time in program history. Eden Bigham in the circle, she went 3-0, was part of a shutout, and then had her own complete game shutout. She struck out 13 batters, only allowed 2 earned runs and 16 innings pitched. And Jade Hilton, who we just talked about, that broke a couple records of her own. This is her second straight weekend of being the ACC Player of the Week. She was 7 for 12, hitting .583 for the Hoos. And she's just been on a roll. And I think she's one of those players that I really, really like, because you've seen the development over 4 years with her and Joe Harden. And you know, it's really paying off after, you know, grinding it out for a few years. So congrats to Eden and Jade and the Hoos, and first time beating Louisville. Nice work.
Yeah, well deserved. So before we get into specific team stuff with what happened across the country in the conference last week, let's just first acknowledge, I think, Florida State, who sits at the top of the conference in that number one slot, did not get to play their games last weekend. Unfortunately, as a result, all athletic events were paused following a very difficult and traumatic situation at the university involving an active shooter that was on campus around noon on Thursday of last week, which is when games were supposed to start, was that Thursday, given that it was Easter weekend. So our thoughts are with Florida State and the Tallahassee community. I feel like just those are my people, and just continuing to be hit with really tough situations. But our thoughts and prayers are with them.
Absolutely. And I commend the university for doing the right thing and shutting everything down, shutting it down. It needs to be shut down. Terrible situation. Yes, you said it very well, Alex. Thoughts and prayers to everybody.
Definitely. But let's go ahead and keep talking about the success across the conference and the country with the ACC and the games and series that did happen. So Virginia Tech at Pittsburgh, this one was absolutely crazy. And Britt, you must have had like a blast because I know you were in Bristol covering like several days of coverage in these games overall. But holy hell, I didn't expect this one. So you want to get into it first?
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody expected anything that happened this week in Pittsburgh. I mean, Pitt's coming off of last series where they took a game from Duke, and you know that was probably a good thing, and you know maybe they take one from Virginia Tech just because they can put it together. But that first game, they came out swinging and put it to Emma Limley. Got the start. She only went a few innings, having some major command issues this weekend. I think Pitt did a phenomenal job of laying off her rise ball. And this weekend, Emma Limley didn't have a secondary pitch that she could throw for a strike. So if they were not swinging out of the zone at her rise ball, she was in trouble. A lot of walks that came around to score, wild pitches came around to score. And then Virginia Tech's bats weren't really there that first game. But my God, Alex, game two. It's like, how is Virginia Tech going to respond to, you know, they're setting themselves up to be playing Florida State for the regular season championship, both tied at the top of the conference. And all they need to do is come in here and take care of business at Pitt. So they lose first game and it's like, shoot, how are they going to respond? 1-0. What was it? 11 home runs by nine different players. I think the record is 13 home runs by Oklahoma a few years ago, but to do it, I think 9 different players is incredible.
Insane. Well, it talks about the depth of this Virginia Tech team in general, but not only that, like just looking back at the box scores to make sure that you get it right, because like you see this stuff come through like on your ESPN alerts and your Twitter and whatever else. And it's like, wait a second, did I really see that 8 of the 9 starters hit a home run? And then not only that, the one hitter that didn't, or the one starter that hadn't hit a home run, was in the 9 hole. And then you sub somebody in and it's Nora Abramovage, and then she comes in the 9 hole and then hits a pinch hit home run. And you're just like, are you kidding me? Like, how do I stop this? So
that's crazy.
Nuts, absolutely nuts. And then we talk so much about depth and response and things like that, and that was crucial. I think a crucial game for the Hokies. But then talk about response. Pittsburgh comes back because they played the doubleheader that day.
Yeah, same day, and after getting beat 21-0.
Yeah, insane. And I think you had a little bit of insight too on that last game 3, which is some of what Coach Allard was saying and the message to the team.
Yeah, it was during the in-game interview. Carol Bruggerman asked her, like, what do you say to your team after you lose 21-0, giving up 11 home runs, and then you have to turn around and play them again? And I mean, Jenny Allard's been around the game forever. She's a head coach at Harvard for over 20 years, second year at Pitt. And she said, well, first thing we did was we changed our uniforms. I was like, that's fair. I mean, that's fair. Let's get rid of these. Probably never wear those again. But then she told her team, the score is 1-1. We won game 1. They won game 2. It's 1-1. It doesn't matter. They beat us by 500 like they did. It's still 1-1 at the end of the day. So, you know, we still have a chance to win this thing. And I like that perspective that she gave her team. You know, it wasn't too cliche. And I think it obviously worked because they came back and just went at it in game 3 and got that win. But I like that look that she put to it. Like, you know what? It could have been a 1-0 game or the 21-0 game that we just lost. But at the end of the day, an L is an L, and we're still tied up in the series.
Absolutely. And Cam Murphy for Pittsburgh had the big hit in that first game on the first day, giving them the 3-run shot. And that's really what was one of the difference makers in that first victory. Obviously, game 2 was just insane, lights out for Virginia Tech. And then game 3, Emily just still struggling, I think, a little bit in the circle right now. And 11 earned runs last 10 innings pitched. And Britt, you had a good note that she'd only given up 11 earned runs in the last 10 games pitched. And so just a turn of events, I think, in the circle too.
Right. I mean, you don't have 4 no-hitters on the season if you don't know how to attack the zone and command your pitches, right? And that was that wasn't there this weekend. And who knows why? Was it something mechanical that she needs to get in the bullpen this weekend and fix? Was it something mental that's going on in her life? Or is it a combination of everything? You know, it's late in the season. Is there something? Is she sore? Her fingers bleeding? You know how pitchers get. They get their finger rips at this time of year. I have no idea what it was, but she has been so good this year and, you know, had a bad weekend. Had a really bad weekend.
But it happens.
Pitt had a great weekend. Kyra Pittman in the circle for Pitt. She won this final game for Pitt. Went in the complete game. Looked great. I was really surprised that Gwen Sparks, who got the win, in the game mm-hmm. one wasn't pitching, but I found out later that she's dealing with an injury, can't pitch back-to-back days. So two different pitchers to take a victory away from Virginia Tech is something a lot of most teams this year can't say.
Yeah, it's something to be proud of, that's for sure. So let's talk about our friends out west. This was a really cool one. Stanford and Cal, they had the big swing event, which we'd been talking about like leading up to this, and just the excitement that was built around it. I think they did a good job marketing it as well. And everybody wants to be a part of something. And so with that, it's like, you know, if you don't love softball, or if you don't know you love softball yet, if you've never been to an NCAA D1 game, then do you want to be a part of history and try to break a record, right? Everybody can relate to something that they were doing out there this weekend, which I think was really cool. So they had the big swing event, which was the game between Stanford and Cal on April 19th, a Saturday. They're playing in the football stadium, and they're trying to break the record for the most attendees there on site at a game in college softball. And they did it. And that was so fun.
13,207 fans. That's awesome. I mean, if you build it, they will come, right?
Right.
I just love it. And I want to go back to why they're playing in the football stadium. Stanford's getting a new softball stadium, a $50 million softball stadium, which great investment by Stanford, and even better job of Alistair knowing for her seniors, she didn't want them to play their entire senior season on the road. So she took her brilliant mind, got creative, looked at some dimensions and was like, hey, I think we could fit this in here, and went to her administration, and for them to support her to do that. Awesome job by Stanford, and awesome job on the big swing. Awesome job for everybody in the Bay Area that showed up. They picked a great game to go to, the big rivalry, that Cal came away with the victory, but Stanford won the series. But it was just big picture softball, like why they're playing a football stadium, because they're getting a new stadium. And, you know, it was just everything about it, awesome.
Yeah, good stuff all the way around. So much fun. It was just one of those like, wow, I'm so proud of softball moments. But yeah, like you said, Stanford won the series. Cal did take the big game. So if you're going to win one, I feel like that's the good one to win and just try to keep that momentum going. So let's talk about Louisville, Virginia. Britt, what do you want to talk about with them? I know you have a favorite player right now with that squad.
Well, I mean, we talked about it earlier. Virginia took the series for the first time against Louisville. Louisville's having a roller coaster of a year, but Amaral for Louisville is looking awesome, as she has her entire career, is really carrying that team. They just need some support crew around her, right, to really get them over that hump. But Louisville's looking to, you know, cement themselves in the ACC championships. I think that'll probably be the only way they can go on a run in the postseason. Virginia, back in the top 25, lose the first game, and we're like, oh no, is this Virginia with a target on their back, not knowing how to perform, right? But they were able to come out and take the series, and Bigham looked great in the circle. That's why she got the player of the week honors. So nice job, Virginia and Joe Harden's squad.
Yeah, and real quick, just on Louisville, to me, they're very much an on-the-cusp team of making postseason. I think that we'll get into it a little bit later, but ACC has a good chance of beating some previous records the last couple of years with teams sent to the NCAA tournament. But Louisville right now is that team that's sitting like in the 50s, and it's a team that hasn't done fantastic when it matters most. And so I think the way they play the next 2 weeks will be a really big indicator on that. And Florida State, if I'm not mistaken, off the top of my head, is one of those series, I think, this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll be big to see how they respond. So NC State, UNC, what do you have on your alma mater?
This was a fun series. I think, to me, this was going to be the most exciting series. After UNC took the series last weekend against Virginia Tech, they needed to take care of business this weekend against NC State just to help cement them in the postseason. I think they're in after this weekend. But NC State took game one. They were competitive. They hit the ball well, played good defense. But UNC had to come back from behind in game two and three. The walk-off by Shelby Barbary in game three, probably the hitter that you didn't think would do it for UNC. She's batting under 200 with all those offensive bats in that lineup, and she's the one that stepped up big time for the Tar Heels when they needed it most. You know, it's not always, are you having the greatest season? You just got to take the opportunities when you get them. You know, you're just waiting for that one moment, and she got hers, and it was a lot of fun. There's a moment in the game, though, when, have you seen Carly Myrtle's dad in the stands with his trumpet?
Yes.
So that's Carly Myrtle's dad, and she hits a home run, a bomb, an absolute blast. He gets up, and he's playing his trumpet, and in between innings, and they have confetti. Confetti goes on the field. The umpires this just drove me nuts, called time and made all the players pick up every piece of confetti that fell on the ground and then awarded a ball on the batter to NC State for delay of game. I'm just like, is there not a leaf on the field somewhere? Do we need to go get all the leaf? What's confetti really going to do? How's that going to mess up the game? But just no fun zone by umpires right now. But
yeah, it was fun. I think Joe Myrtle catches glimpses of our podcast because him and I have messaged before. So when Carly was young, Carly went to a camp that I'd hosted like years back. And so it's just so funny to like have everything come full circle, which I don't think I've ever shared that with you. But yeah, so I met Carly when she was like, yeah, very much in the recruiting process, just hosting a camp out in the Carolinas. So
very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Full circle.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, definitely makes it
fun. Umpires,
let's have some fun. Brutal. Anyways, so Boston College at Clemson. Boston College did take game three, but Clemson is having a really good season. We already mentioned some of the star players earlier and the records that they're breaking. I was in Bristol last week. Britt, you stayed there for what felt like, I thought you were moving there at one point. I was only there for a quick trip, but I was there the day that Clemson and South Carolina played. And that game was so much fun to watch, so much fun to cover because we came on before the game, after the game, and just kind of the hype around what the Tigers are doing is just really cool. So that was a big win over South Carolina in the midweek. We always love an SEC win. We love a top 25 win. So really good stuff for Clemson. Marion Collins had two home runs in the game. The last one was the walk-off shot. That was just, again, so much fun. Only a freshman. So much to look forward to in her career. So the Tigers are looking really good.
They are. And I know it was a 2-0 game, but I don't know if you felt this way watching it too. I felt like they were in control the whole game against this top 10 team. They had a 3-run home run rob. They had a play at the plate, the end of inning, take a run away. I mean, they were on the offense the entire game in complete control of that game. So it wasn't just like, oh, they got lucky with two solo shots. No, Clemson dominated that game.
Yeah, it was fun. And then Macy Citron is still just lights out. She's so good and so much fun to watch too. So shout out to Clemson for what they're doing. Boston College, good win on day three there, but yeah,
I do want to give some props to Boston College because that's a tough place to play, especially game three after, you know, just getting beat first two games. And what they're doing without Abby Dunning and Haley Papillon, they're two pitchers, like going into this season, I was really high on Boston College of like doing things that as Boston College has never done before in the past, like really going on a run and making some noise. But their two best pitchers go down early in the season, and for them to fight back and still be playing some good ball and beating some good teams, hats off. Nice job, Boston College.
Definitely. Good stuff. Notre Dame at Duke. What do you got on what was going on out there?
They were all one-run games, very close games. I don't know who's going to show up for Duke. That's like, which team's going to show up for the Blue Devils? Is it going to be the offense that came out and hit six doubles in the first inning against North Carolina? Or is it going to be the team that waits until the fifth or sixth inning when they're behind to really turn it on and do something offensively? What's Cassidy Curd going to do in the circle? Is she going to be able to find the zone and dominate like she did against UNC and got those three wins? Or is she going to struggle with her control and wild pitches and getting ahead of batters? You know, is there just so many questions, not really with what the talent is on this team, because they're a very talented team, but which one's going to show up right now?
Yeah. And I feel like it's valid. And this is a team that, you know, people can say all they want that, oh, they went to the World Series last year. They did all these things. But at the same time, they don't have a lot of experience that returned. And that's because of graduation, because of transfers, because of grad programs, things like that. And so this is a team that's very much still figuring it out. And you can't fault them. But at some point, you got to stop figuring it out and you just got to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what they would say as well.
I think a bright spot. Sorry.
Not much time left.
Yeah, no, there's not. There's really not. That's a really good point. There's not. We just have a couple weekends. And if they want to host, they've got to figure it out now. And they've got to have that sense of urgency right now. But I think the bright spot is your girl, Amina Vega. I mean, she is just still tearing it up day in and day out. And Danny Drugmuller in the circle. She is eating up a ton of innings and doing a good job. I look at her as like a stabilizer in the circle. She's not going to come out and dominate, but she's going to keep you in games. And she's already pitched well over 100 innings and only threw like 40 last year. So she's filling some big shoes and a big role for this team when they need it.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame on the other side taking this game. Like we mentioned, no sweeps this weekend. And Notre Dame, you mentioned Louisville being on the cusp. I think Notre Dame's on the cusp of doing something really great too in the future, because first year head coach, bring in new assistants, both with a lot of head coaching experience, and they've lost a lot of one-run games in ACC play. They lost the rubber match to Louisville in 14 innings, lost the rubber match to NC State in 8 innings, lost game 3 to Virginia for the sweep in 10 innings, and then they lost 2 one-run games to Duke. So they're just one run away from having 1, 2, 3 more series victories in ACC play and a sweep. So Notre Dame's turning things around, and they're going to be good in the future.
Yeah. I agree. So good stuff out in South Bend, even though South Bend can be a weird place. So looking ahead, we've got Clemson at Tennessee tonight. That'll be a fun one. I know you love going to Knoxville, Britt. Georgia Tech is also tonight. And then a couple more ACC series underway this weekend and next weekend are the last 2 weekends of regular season play. So it feels like the 2025 season as a whole just absolutely flew. This weekend, you got Boston College at Syracuse, UNC at Notre Dame, Clemson at Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech at Cal, Florida State at Louisville. That'll be a big one for Louisville specifically. Duke at NC State, Virginia at Stanford. And then something that you made note of as well was Stanford owns an 11-7 record in conference play. And so, yeah, go ahead.
There's a log jam right in the middle of the conference, like 5, 6, 7, 8 are just neck to neck. And Virginia right there, Virginia's 5th, Stanford's 6th. And the first 4 teams get a bye in the ACC championship. So you really want to be in that top 4 spot. So that's going to be a pivotal weekend to whoever wins this series to move closer into that top 4 bracket. For Stanford, They're right there to host. So, and a lot of bracketologies, they're either the last 4 in or last 4 out to host. Definitely in postseason, no question about that. But are they going to be playing at home? And then there's a part of me, Alex, I would like your thoughts on this. Would you rather host and be the 16 seed or not host and go to like a, I don't know, like a 12 seed where you can match up with a 5 seed in supers, or go to a different regional site, or be the 16 seed that matches up with the number 1.
Yeah, I would rather the latter. I would rather be not in the top 16 if I'm like kind of on the cusp or the bubble there. I'd rather get an opponent that's sitting in that 4, 5, 3, 4, 5, 6 range in RPI, and I'd rather earn my way through a regional just like you have to regardless, and then I'd rather match up with somebody like that in the super.
Yeah, I've been like that for sure in the past. Especially with Oklahoma being the number 1. Like Florida State was the 16 seed last year, right? And they got sent to the dynasty of Oklahoma. This year, I feel like I'm still on the fence because the number 1 spot's changing week in and week out. It's not as heavy up there at the top. So I don't know. Just something I was curious to get your thoughts on.
We can come back to this the next couple of weeks too if we want, and just kind of keep figuring out like who's there this week, and then maybe our opinions will change. But right now, that's where I think. But I do think that you're right. There's nobody that's like really just lights out securing that number 1 spot. But I think in also a very scary way, like 1, 2, 3, and even 4 are pretty damn solid.
Right.
And so it's like pick your poison. But speaking of bracketologies, I was going to say, so I feel like you have a prediction, and I feel like I would share this prediction once you confirm it, that ACC might set a record this year for most teams sent to the NCAA tournament. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there's definitely the possibility of the ACC getting 9 teams in. For me, Florida State, Virginia Tech, Clemson, Duke, Stanford, UVA are locks, like locks. UNC, Georgia Tech, Cal, in my opinion, are in. I think Cal has to finish strong this weekend. Let me look and see, where are they at? They got Virginia Tech. So they have a really good opportunity to really cement themselves in the postseason. Same thing with UNC going to Notre Dame. And then Georgia Tech at Clemson, also a really good opportunity for them to get a good win and get into the postseason. So I think for UNC, Georgia Tech, and Cal, yeah, they're playing some really good competition in Clemson and Virginia Tech, but this is also a really good opportunity for your resume builder for postseason. So I think, I think if they don't get swept, we're going to get 9 teams in the postseason.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I think the record previously is 7 teams in the postseason, and I think that was set back in 2015, if I'm not mistaken. So good stuff ahead for the ACC, but the next 2 weeks, just like everywhere else, are crucial and what's going to happen with that seeding down the road. So, Britt, do you have any last thoughts?
I think the games tonight, man, they're going to be awesome. Clemson at Tennessee on the road, good opportunity to make some noise. They always come up so close. I remember last year, 1-0 extras against Tennessee, like great games. They always play each other. It's going to be great. And then Georgia, who's coming off of a crazy weekend against Ole Miss. I think that score was, had like 20 runs scored off of them, scored 10, I don't know. It was just a crazy weekend off of Ole Miss. And I think Georgia Tech, I mean, they've beaten Oklahoma State this year and has a good chance tonight. So tune into those games. What series this weekend are you most looking forward to?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm thinking, I think Virginia at Stanford will be a good one. I think that'll be the best series to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for all of them all the time, but I think that that's going to be an important one. What about you?
I'm torn between Clemson and Georgia Tech just because they're kind of similar teams, young, scrappy, energetic. But I'm really interested in Virginia Tech at Cal. And we've talked about the travel and all that, how that goes. But how's Emma Lemley going to look this weekend? That's what that's what I'm really interested in seeing. So great stuff to watch. Got plenty of things to do this weekend.
Plenty. Short-term memory is going to be huge for everybody because can't revel in the success too long and you can't dwell on the hard days and the hard games for too long either. So, but as always, leave us any messages, comments, anything like that that you guys would want to see, any information that you want to know. And thanks for watching Up the Coast with Alex and Britt. Until next week, see ya.
Bye.